Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Mm-hmm. We got good things coming up for you. In a little bit, we're going to get into the great musicians who aren't necessarily great singers.
Okay.
And we've got a way for you to get through that 3 o'clock slump a little bit later. In fact, we got four ways to get through it bit later. That's coming up for you, along with our schedule, good stories of the day, and plenty more. Kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. And Travis and Jason Kelce are taking their New Heights podcast to new heights. They are they just signed a humongous deal with Amazon.
Okay.
So this is this podcast was incredibly popular before Travis started dating Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And it has only obviously gained momentum and power and all that and listeners as that happened actually, and that has developed and everything. Mm. So this was already a very sought after podcast from a lot of people. And it looks like Amazon is looking to get more into the podcast game as they have spent $100 million over 3 years on these two's podcast. The Kelce said, quote, "We couldn't be more excited to team up with Wonderly for the next phase of New Heights. We love this show and the fan base that has grown with us over the last two seasons. Wonderly understands the shared vision and will offer a wealth of experience and resources to take us to new heights." I see what they did there.
Travis, so clever.
Travis and Jason are started New Heights before the 2022 NFL season. It won Podcast of the Year at this year's iHeart Podcast Awards. And I haven't listened to a ton of it. I don't listen to a ton of podcasts to begin with, but I have heard
time.
Right, exactly. That's just it. If I had the time, I might listen to more of them, but I will say, I think they both do a good job. Travis is not a bad talker. He is a very free form. He really lets loose. He doesn't have much of a filter. His brother Jason was not born with a filter. Jason is a wild man, and he's a controlled wild man. Like his energy, he keeps down until like things really bring it out of him. He just retired after last season, and this is his first time, you know, being in the. I would say probably since he was a kid, not having to train and get his body ready for another NFL season. So this man is living his best life. I can only imagine where this podcast is going to go. They don't need the money. These are both former football players, made a lot of money in their careers, are doing well. What they're able to do with something like this is put that money into the podcast along with other ventures and nonprofits and a lot of the good work that they do with this, because say whatever you want, these are a couple of Midwest boys. These are guys from Ohio. They have had Travis has never made any bones about trying to be out there and be a big name. Jason doesn't really shy away from the spotlight, but these two have not, from everything we can tell, have not lost their roots. Their mom and dad are very grounded and keep them grounded. And it should be interesting to see what happens with this. If I'm a fan of the podcast, whenever these things happen, I remember when Pat McAfee signed the ESPN deal, there was a lot of fear, like, is it going to change his show? Is it going to be different? And a lot of those things came up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens when you're worried about that. Like, just when an artist you love gets signed on a record label and then their music changes.
Yeah. I thought this was kind of interesting. I actually just mentioned Kiss the other day when we were talking about concerts and, farewell concerts. My first real big show was seeing Kiss at the Kohl Center during their 96-97, farewell tour.
20 years ago.
Right. if you've ever wondered what was more important to Kiss, style or substance, this story makes it very clear. Marty Friedman was contracted by Kiss many years ago when they were changing guitar players. Marty had played for Megadeth from 1990 to 2000, so he knew how to play. Mm-hmm. But he didn't get past the phone interview because of his height.
Oh.
They were looking for someone over 6 feet tall, but he told them he was only 5'7". And that was it. Marty said, Marty said, quote, I totally get it, but I would have done anything. If there was an operation available at the time, I would have done it.
That is such a painful operation.
Yeah, I can't imagine something like that.
Marty
didn't say what when this happened, but Tommy Thayer was the last guitarist to take over for Ace Frehley, and he joined Kiss back in 2002. And I'm not sure how tall Mr. Thayer is, but I'm guessing at least 6 feet tall.
I mean, if it's their band, if they want to have that kind of requirement,
well,
I guess.
And
the aesthetic than the talent.
You know, what do I know? I have never sold one record or one song in my life, whereas Kiss is one of the biggest selling, bands of all time. their legacy is set. So I don't want to pick at them or anything here. But another thing about Kiss is, I know Gene Simmons is, at least. If not, I'm pretty sure all the guys in the band are in, you know, platform shoes.
Right.
Like, I mean, what does the height part matter? just put
you on stilts.
Just put them on some bigger, put them in bigger platforms than Gene or Paul or anything like that. Like, I don't get it. I don't know why. If he's a good guitar player, it feels. I wonder if this was more. I don't really want to tell him no. You know what? Let's just say it's something about height. Yeah. Hey, it's not you. It's your height. It's not. I don't know. It feels like something where they're. It's not you. It's us. It's not kind of thing. I don't know what that was.
I hope it honestly was height. And if that's the reason that he didn't get it, I mean that's from their point, it's a fair reason. I mean, you know how often those kind of things happen in movies or theater, like you're taller than the other person in the scene and it doesn't work. So I'm sorry, I'm going to go with the other choice.
Yeah.
Because aesthetically, they look better together. Like, that happens in art.
It happens, I would say it happens more times than whatever number you are thinking out there of how many times out of 10 times it happens twice as much,
mm-hmm.
Especially in theater. Mm-hmm. In movies, they can get away with things a little bit more.
A little more, because they have camera angles and whatnot. And
Tom Cruise has made a career out of this.
He is portrayed as a lot taller in all of his movies than he actually is.
I want to be really clear. That is not me taking a shot at Tom Cruise.
No.
That is a compliment to Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is like 5'4", and nobody in the world thinks he is. It's a very well done thing for camera work and everything on stage. I've lost out on roles, and I've also gotten roles because of my height. I could see how that could be a factor in that world. Outside of that, I don't quite get it. I don't know. I did want to note this. We don't have to go too deep into this one, but the Cannes Film Festival is taking place there. Cool. The Venice Film Festival is taking place right now. The Venice one.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't the Cannes Festival. So the Venice Film Festival, one of the bigger film festivals in the world. I would say the third or fourth biggest film festival there is. A lot of different things come out to this. Well, Sigourney Weaver teared up at the Venice after reporter links aliens Ripley, her famous character from the Alien movies, to Kamala Harris. She got really moved by this and just said that, you know, nobody has ever made her so happy comparing her character to somebody, and just you don't see Sigourney Weaver, out of place very often. This is a very composed human being. Even when she gets asked a question she didn't see coming, she just rolls with it. She's one of the more, when actors talk about people they love to work with, she's one of the top names on the list. She just rolls with things. A billion things go wrong on a movie set, and Sigourney Weaver is one of those people that keeps things moving. It's a really just, you know, team player, a lot of that. Chances are she is, I've seen her do at a lot of festivals and a lot of things where she's being interviewed. She always talks about her other actors. She's always really got that really ready to go. I imagine that she was being interviewed and she's ready to talk about the other actors in the Alien movie or some of this, and just is kind of blown away by this comparison by this reporter makes that just comes out of nowhere. She says, quote, "To think my work would have anything to do with her rise makes me very happy." Because there have been memes and a lot of different things with using her character from Alien to go with Miss Harris. So it's been kind of just neat to see. And this is one of the things that's been going on for a while now, where You have to have a social media team if you are a politician. Mm-hmm. You just do. Whether that's right or not or wrong or not or any of this stuff, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we are where we are in this world. And you want to get young voters, this is how you do it, or one of the ways you do it. You also do things that young voters care about, because these are not people that, oh, you have a TikTok dance, so they're going to vote for you. No, they may pay attention to you. They may know your name, but they're not going to vote for you unless you're actually doing things for, you know, their generation and in the future and young people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the fact that that character she played in Alien inspired so many women to be able to, you know, like empower themselves and be themselves in their authentic selves. And that's that is really cool.
Yeah, there's there is a long history of this, of characters inspiring, you know, other characters, especially women, when it comes to these things. I think that when I was a kid growing up, the one that stood out the most was Sally Field as Norma Rae. That performance in that movie, I can remember my mother getting teary during that movie. And just the way when the trailer was going around, how the women in my life would stop and watch the trailer, let alone when the movie was on and everything. That character that Sally Field played magnificently, maybe you could make the argument, maybe her key role in her career, which is really saying something. That one stood out to me. So I could see things like that where there is inspiration. That's what good art does. It inspires.
Mm-hmm. And I like this quote in the article on Variety that says, suddenly we stop becoming a joke and a mother-in-law, and we actually started to be real people because a lot of our audience are real people.
Yeah. It's very similar to Linda Hamilton in the Terminator movies. Mm-hmm. Where that the director, writer, everybody in that was very adamant about our lead hero in this is going to be a woman. And Linda Hamilton, to her credit, took that on and like really embodied that, really wanted to do that. She took the ball and ran with it, especially in Terminator 2, where she is in good shape. She's in good shape in both movies, but in Terminator 2, her character is a little bit more, you know, prepared for the Terminator in these things, and she got into shape for that movie.
Well, and I also appreciate that Hollywood is starting to embrace women, older women, in strong roles and because they have, for so many years, just focused on young, pretty, perfect bodies.
Well,
and that has needed to change for a long time, and I'm glad that that change has started to come about.
100% agree with every word. I will say, you know, similar to sports, especially the NFL, they realize, hey, wait a minute, we've been completely ignoring a whole half of society. We want their money too, you know, and that's where a lot of this comes from. Is whether it's making movies like Barbie or it is the NFL, you know, putting a focus on breast cancer awareness. A lot of this does start with money, but that doesn't mean that that's what it has to mean to us. Like, it can still take, we can still take empowerment from these things. We can still take, like, okay, it's similar. When I was young, when they had, when PCism got really big and there was affirmative action, I got a job because of affirmative action once. And instead of being discouraged by that, I was like, okay, I'm going to prove I belong here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this opportunity, and I'm going to not only prove that I belong here, but hey, every ethnic person that goes for a job, give them an opportunity, give them a shot, or at least give them a look. I think that there's you can take the opportunities however you get them or however they came about and make the most of them.
Well, and you can look at just what happened with orchestras across the country when they started doing blind auditions. Women started getting positions.
Yeah.
Previous to that, women were not in orchestras across the entire world. But the bias of, well, a woman can't play a trombone.
It's great. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's great. It's just insane. Just insane.
But as soon as they started doing blind auditions, women started getting those parts.
Mm-hmm. It's a great note, too, and I don't think a lot of people knew that one. That's a good note, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. If you start delving into the orchestra world, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We will take a quick time out. When we come back, we're talking about musicians. Are they good singers or not? We'll get into the list. We'll decide ourselves. We'll make the final cut when we come back. Our own American Idol coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Some killers to play us in. Fantastic band. Was actually lucky enough to get to see Brandon Flowers, the lead singer from The Killers, at a small show when he had a solo album coming out, and he was kind of previewing it to select members. There was about 100 people maybe in the bar that night. Cool. Very intimate setting and very close to the stage. And I was not, I'm not a big Killers guy or anything. The girl I was with, her and her sister wanted to go, so I was just kind of chaperoning almost. just the big guy standing there with them and everything. But I was blown away by that, by him. He is a showman. He can sing. And everything that, because God, these two love The Killers, and they played them all the time, Melissa. So I know that music pretty good, and I've heard him sing plenty on CD or whatever, on the radio, all that. To hear him back it up on stage live was very impressive to me.
Nice.
Mentioned this weekend, so Coheed and Incubus and Brandon Boyd, lead singer of Incubus, very powerful singer, very good singer. I've heard him on CD. Okay, sounds really good. You see him live. Oh, my God. Like, not only does he back it up, but he's an amazing showman. His voice was intact the whole time. It was really impressive. I came away having a bigger respect for not only him and the band, but just musicians in general that can pull that off. Mm-hmm. I remember going to Ozfest and seeing White Zombie and seeing Rob Zombie. And about two songs in, Rob's voice blew. Like, ooh. just went. And
that
he
sucks.
And he did like 10 more songs. And every song, he just kept trying to sing. And it was like painful. I'm thousands of feet back, and I can hear how painful it is and everything. It was just really rough. And
that's how you get nodules. Don't do that.
I don't know anybody. I think Rob Zombie and White Zombie is a fine band and all that and everything, but I don't know anybody that's going to say, well, that's a great singer right there. You know, there's a difference between being a great musician and maybe being a great singer. And yes, that's what this list puts together. Ranker.com had people voting on which of the greats aren't great singers. So okay, these are big acts. These are big names that not necessarily are great singers.
All right.
So looking at the list, we're going to go through a couple, and then I'll give some examples. I'll play some examples for people here with some of these more obscure or maybe voices you haven't heard in a while. I apologize, Melissa. I know that audio-wise is a little difficult for you. Sorry
for
that.
I got streaming.
So first up, number 20, Jack White from the White Stripes and the Recounters.
Okay.
I could see... I like his voice. I like his singing. I could see how people could say that. Kris Kristofferson, a famous singer, songwriter, I believe, in the Country Actor. Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
I found that one interesting, but okay. I'm not going to... I don't know enough about singing to really combat any of these. I know what I like, and I know voices that I like. But if somebody had asked me, hey, do you think Mick Jagger's a good singer? I wouldn't argue that. I'd be like, yeah, I think he is. They say he's not. I can't argue that either. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, just roll with it. I think one of the tricky parts of this to me is, but he got a record deal. But he's got a great career, you know, and I forget sometimes that doesn't always mean that, you know, you're a great singer.
Right.
Joe
sometimes
Walsh.
It's about who you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even sometimes the band, the type of music you sing or play or anything like that. So Joe Walsh is on this list. That's an interesting one. I don't think of Joe Walsh as a bad singer.
No.
Maybe that's why he's lower on the list. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Ozzy Osbourne. I don't think of Ozzy as a great singer traditionally or anything, but I just mentioned seeing Ozfest. I've seen Ozzy four times. I've seen Ozzy, and I've seen him obviously late in life, in his late 60s, 70s, all of that. That man gave like an hour and a half show. His voice never left. It felt like he was the youngest person in the arena. Like, just an incredible energy to him. And
yeah, that's impressive.
While he may not have a singer's voice, his voice held up great. And he sounded just like he did when he was in his 30s.
Hmm.
I think Ozzy has taken care of his voice very well.
Yeah. Oh. And there's definitely a difference there.
Where there was a guy 20 years younger than him and Rob Zombie, who his voice blew out right away, Ozzy was perfectly fine every time I saw him. So, you know,
yeah, some of it depends on technique.
Maybe not a great singer, but certainly, you know, is taking care of his voice.
Right.
Lou Reed shows up on this list at 15. A distinct voice. I think that's going to come up here on this list a little bit, too. A unique voice. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's not necessarily maybe a good or a bad singer, but just a very unique voice.
Okay.
And now it's going to get a little interesting, because at number 14 on the list, Taylor Swift.
Really?
I know how popular she is. I know how big of a name she is and how popular of a singer she is. Her albums sell out right away. Her concerts sell out right away. She is she is the biggest name in pop culture. And arguably the biggest name in music.
Yeah.
But I've never heard anybody say anything about her singing voice. I've never heard anybody comment on it other than her twang went away when she started doing pop music. When she went from country to pop. That's the only time I've ever heard anybody say anything about her voice. So when I think about her as a, I think about her as a songwriter first before I think of her as a singer.
Well, and I guess I think of her as a performer.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I mean, she is the whole package
and
gives long performances. There have been times where, like most recently, and actually I think this just happened a couple days ago, I heard a song and they said it was Taylor Swift and I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I think she has a slightly changeable voice depending on what she's singing, which is something that some singers are able to do. And I think that that's an admirable talent.
I think
that doesn't necessarily detract from her, you know, singing ability.
Yeah. And certainly you could have there are plenty of singers that have amazing voices but don't have amazing careers because it's not quote unquote the complete package and everything. Suzanne Boyle is a good example of an overnight sensation who has a beautiful voice.
Amazing voice.
Yeah.
But yeah. And to be fair, I have to put out there that I don't listen to a lot of Taylor Swift music. I mean, I heard more of her, you know, early stuff, like Teardrops on My Guitar stuff.
I want to be very clear to all the Swifties out there. I am not taking shots at her. I don't want that smoke. I am not interested in that.
She is an incredibly successful and talented young woman, and I have nothing but respect for her.
her fan base is such, though, that we feel like we have to do that. I do. I'm just joking.
I don't.
Yeah, I know you don't, but I'm just kidding. Sheryl Crow comes up at number 13.
Really?
That's surprising to me.
I don't agree with that one.
I don't either. Not only Melissa and I don't agree with, the music industry didn't agree with it.
No.
Sheryl Crow made her bones as a backup singer and a songwriter. And it wasn't until late in her career that she finally got a record deal and, you know, All I Want to Do Is Have Fun and a lot of her hits came.
She's got a unique voice, like you said.
And
her way of singing maybe doesn't jive with... But, oh my goodness, you listen to, like, regular teeny bop radio right now, and they're all auto-tuned, and they all sound the same. And I mean, that's very much generalizing, and I understand that. But you don't hear a Sheryl Crow on the regular, quote-unquote, regular radio right now.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I am... It's hard to get into a lot of new music for me because it all sounds so similar to me. I've never been a big fan of.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson from AC/DC shows up on the list. Again, not a great singer maybe, but perfect for that band, perfect for that style of music. You wouldn't want whoever you think of as a beautiful singer, you wouldn't want them in the covering AC/DC.
Michael Bublé singing AC/DC?
Yes. Thunderstruck. You've been thunderstruck. I like that.
Nice.
I like that.
Nice.
Elvis Costello. Elvis Costello shows up. Very similar to Lou Reed to me. Very unique voice. Very, you know, distinct one. Leonard Cohen. Another one famous for Hallelujah. Some of that. I would never have thought of Leonard Cohen as a bad singer, though. Or a guy who can't sing. I thought he has a nice voice. I haven't listened to a ton of Leonard Cohen, but what I've heard over the years, I was a little surprised by that. And then the list gets a little interesting as well, because there's some famous names on this list, and famous for different reasons. One of them coming in the top six, famous opera singer Florence Foster Jenkins. And those, many out there might not be familiar with Miss Jenkins. She was kind of famous because of her bad voice and being off key and some of that. I'm going to play a little of you, play a little of her for you right now. All right, I want to play a little bit more. This is a little older from Florence here. This is from 1934. That is Miss Jenkins. That is Miss Jenkins. So that's
She came a long way.
Yeah, she really did. Yeah, yeah.
Because that first clip you played, I thought that sounded fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. That is her, well tuned. Mm-hmm. But before that, you heard her. She apparently had a very hard time hearing the band sometimes back in those days, and so that was part of what it was.
But I've had that happen to me.
She became famous essentially because of this, though, and got a lot of work from it.
Well, I mean, however it happens, she obviously turned out all right.
Next up on the list, coming in at number five, Mr. Bob Dylan, playing a little Dylan for you right now.
Bob Dylan.
So Dylan, I think a famous voice, one of the more unique famous voices there is. But I very similar. I have never heard anybody, comment. I really love his singing voice. Never necessarily.
Yeah,
heard
I mean
that.
He's definitely unique, but he's Bob.
Yes, yes. Paul Abdul comes in at number four. Thought that was interesting.
Huh.
And at number three, Mr. Tom Waits. Going to play Mr. Waits for you right now.
When you walk through the garden. You gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track.
I love Tom Waits' voice. I will say that with journalistic integrity right away. Like, I am a big fan of Mr. Waits, his writing, his style, his singing style, all of that. I will never say that he's necessarily a good singer, though.
Well, but it's his style of singing, though. It's almost a little reminiscent of Louis Armstrong.
Yes.
With the gravelly growl in there for that particular clip you just played. I think that is a stylistic choice.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't really thought much about this before. So much of our conversations about singing has really enlightened me and gave me insight to some of these things. Along with talking to a lot of musicians and director's cut and a lot of this, I thought most people, they start to sing. This is how their voice sounds. Oh, I have a good singing voice, and they just go with it. it takes a little more than that. It takes a little more training than that. You can fine tune it to sing a certain way and some of those things. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do a really bad Louis Armstrong impression.
I need to hear this someday. I need to hear this. I need this in my life.
I don't know if I can whip it out today, because it's kind of damaging to a voice when you try to go that lower gravelly. But
yeah.
It's like I see trees of green. So, it's a thing you can do with your voice.
I'm broken.
Skies of blue. I see them for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, that was bad.
Oh, no, that was great. That was great, Melissa. That was awesome.
No, that was bad.
This is going to go down as one of my favorite moments. This is one of my favorite moments. That was awesome. That was fantastic. Nicely done.
Good thing we're not on camera yet, because now I'm red.
So good, so good. the top two positions on here. I gotta pull myself together.
Okay, focus.
Neil Young, Okay, I can see that. I can see that a little bit. And I'm sure Seth might agree with that one. and at number one on the list, Jennifer Lopez. I'm a little surprised by that, but I guess what was interesting to me, too, was seeing Paula Abdul and Jennifer Lopez in the top five. Both of them started out as dancers and got their break kind of because of dancing and the pop music scene and everything. I guess when I think about it, I've never heard anybody say Jennifer Lopez is a great singer or anything like that. She's just been through the ringer the last couple of weeks and come up number one on this list. I almost feel for her a little bit on that.
But, you know, once they're that famous and they're able to kind of choose to do whatever they want to do, why not try singing?
Yeah, really. I mean, plenty of singer, plenty of, notice on this list, we didn't have any of the actors with singing careers, like Bruce Willis in The Return of Bruno or something like that, or any of those. It's a fun list. That was a fun, that was fun. Thank you so much, Melissa. And thank you, Louie. Thank you, Louie. We appreciate you. We will get.
He'll make a comeback someday when he practices.
We'll get to our news break. Take care of our partners. Come back and we're talking hump day and how to beat that 3 o'clock slump when we get back on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. And hopefully, here at 9:42 on the clock, you are not feeling a slump already. You are not feeling a little tired. If anything, you've
Don't
got
call
that.
Me out, James.
For some of us that have been up since 5, you might be getting that second or third wind. Or some of you might just be getting your day started and getting that first wind going and everything. But we are looking to your future self. We are looking to that part of you at 3 o'clock today when you are dragging a little bit.
I call that the trough of my day.
I like that. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Here's something to help you get over the hump before we head into a nice long weekend. 3 o'clock tends to be when a lot of us hit a wall. So someone asked a productivity expert how to blast through it, and we got 4 ways to beat that afternoon slump.
All right, but I got my pen.
I do have a side question here. Does everybody feel that at 3 o'clock? Is it a different time of day you feel it? I feel like I hit that around maybe around noon, 1 o'clock. And that's when I need to kind of like get some lunch or something like that in my system
If you ate, you know, at the normal times of the day, James, it might help.
This is okay. I'm glad you brought this up because this is what a lot of people will tell you. My mom has been trying to tell me this my whole life. Mm-hmm. And look, people, I. Yeah, you got a point. You got a point there, yeah. Melissa.
But no, I do think that it depends on when you start your day. Because when I worked a day that my actual work times was like 7:30, as opposed to 6 or earlier, I did hit my trough at about 3. Or slump or hump or whatever you want to call it.
And we do want to hear from the audience because, well, we're going to give you some tips here and some ways to do this. How do you do it? How do you get through that 3 o'clock slump? Let's hear from you. Energy drinks don't count. I mean, they can help you, but we've already got that as one. We've already got that.
Well, and if you do that at every day at 3 o'clock,
gosh,
I wouldn't be able to sleep if I drank an energy drink at 3.
Well, no way. And after a couple of years of that, your stomach's not going to be able to take things in. That stuff just eats the lining of your stomach. It's just, So number one on this list of how to beat the afternoon slump, know how you're wired. If you start anticipating your slump, you can front load your day and knock the hardest stuff out early.
Yeah. Plan for it.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. And that is one of those things that is a go-to for me as far as getting the hard stuff done getting that out of the way first. I'm always a big fan of that. Anytime in my life anybody has ever said, I got bad news and good news. You want the good news? Just give me the bad. Give it to me first. Let's get it out of the way. Leverage small wins. And boy, take this one to heart, everybody. Crossing something small off your list creates a sense of accomplishment. It can give you a burst of energy and keep you motivated.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So while it's good to have those tougher things front-ended on your list when you have energy and everything, keep in mind that that list, it doesn't have to just be, okay,
all the big things.
Yeah. I was able to move this boulder up the hill. Well, take as something, hey, you got to the boulder. You got your job started or something like that. It may seem silly, but like one of the things I love doing, my mom, whenever she would make a grocery list, and, mm-hmm. and she would get a little discouraged because of whether it was money or it was time or just not, you know, not remembering everything or something like that, or hitting everything on the list. So she would let us as kids sometimes put things on the list, and I would always put a penguin. It would make her laugh, and she would cross it off. But she, after a while of doing that, she started feeling good having something crossed off her list.
Yeah,
I don't.
And it made her smile too. So there you go.
I don't care if it's. I'm creating a list for my vacation. Number one thing on the list: make a list. Okay, that's okay.
It is. It is. And sometimes if I'm having a rough day, I will add small things on my list just so I can cross them off.
I like putting breathe on bed. I think that's great, Melissa. That's really good.
Yeah.
And it does add to these things do add up. They do matter.
They make you feel accomplished, mm-hmm. and no matter how small, it's important.
Connect with others. Take 5 minutes to check in with your coworker. Micro breaks can help shake the afternoon fog, especially if you interact with people.
Yeah, just getting up and moving around.
That's a good one.
And then talking to people, yeah. That definitely could help.
I like that one. I like that one a lot.
You're also not working.
yes. And micro breaks are something that, Americans have just really gotten down for many reasons.
Yeah.
Not a lot of them good.
Right.
Not a lot of them good.
You could hear that in my voice, couldn't you?
Yeah. And change your environment comes in at number four. Wraps up our list. To move to another room or step outside for some fresh air, staying in the same spot too long can make you sluggish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done some factory work in my time, and I ran into this a lot when I was working in factories. You're just standing in line for, you know, 8 hours a day and doing one thing. I would honestly go around in the circle sometimes. I would just make myself do that, or I'd go get a drink of water from the water cooler or something. And even the little things like that at least got my legs moving, got me out of that mindset a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just change your location, change your view.
Mm-hmm. I honestly, every once in a while, I'll throw a handful of push-ups in. That does it. Mm-hmm. Or I will not go running, but I'll take my fur brother Sam for a walk or something like that. And that I think, along with the fresh air, kind of gets me that fourth, fifth wind I need.
Mm-hmm. Or you could do simple like stretches at your desk. There's a lot of them out there that you can look up that are easy to do seated or, you know, without any kind of equipment or anything, or without getting down on the floor, which is often something you do when you're stretching. But just simple things you can do that wouldn't be inappropriate at work to help get your blood moving, wake you up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are good ones. I think focusing on your breathing a little bit can help.
Taking a moment to breathe.
Yeah, it really does kind of add up to this and kind of help with this.
And more oxygen in your body is going to help wake you up.
That is an interesting list. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We are always looking forward to hearing from you and how you stay awake and how you keep going. Maybe it's us. Maybe we help you keep going. We certainly try to. We appreciate you out there, everybody.
Absolutely.
We'll take our final news break, our final break, I mean, and check in with our partners one more time. Come back and wrap up the show, morning show, here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR's morning show. Melissa and James here with you. Taking it to the top of the hour, we'll get into our schedule and some local things going on in just a moment. Got some great local events I want to touch on, but I want to get a That Ain't Right story in with you, Melissa.
All right.
And this is a doozy. There was an open house last Sunday for a home for sale near Stratford, Virginia, about 40 miles south of D.C. One of the people who toured the home was 39-year-old Napoleon Bouyaké. He apparently talked to the seller about how much he liked that place and thought it would be great for him and his four kids. And it looks like he was very serious because he just moved in 2 days later.
Okay.
He didn't make an offer or anything. He just showed up with his kids, got inside, and refused to leave.
Oh, whoa.
Police got there and ordered him to come out, but he just started, he just stared at them through the window, so they went inside and arrested him. It turned out he was on probation, had warrants out in two different neighboring counties. He's facing a long list of charges. Unfortunately, you know, the children being involved in this one makes it not nearly funny at all. But the idea, if we put that aside, and the kids are okay, they are in Child Protective Services now and that. But putting that to the side, this is, there are squatters, and then there is just like not even, you got to at least go through the squatting part. Like he's trying to, cut that part of it.
Right. Because typically squatters are people who, for whatever reason, are being kicked out of the home that they've lived in for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know, their lease is done or they've been evicted and they refuse to move out. But yeah, this skips that whole process.
This guy got the order wrong. He got the order wrong. It's not how you do it. That ain't right.
Or he read about that and was like, I could do this. Let's go find a nice one.
Right, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is he like a hermit crab? Like if he finds a better house, he'll just move over to that one? We need a palate cleanser, and we got a good one for you today. Join us Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. Wonderful dialogue that we have with some locals. Today in part one, Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, will be joining us, along with our great friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Looking forward to that. In part two, we are going to speak to our friends over at the ODC. We have Anne, Lisa, and Samantha joining us. We're going to talk about a couple of different things going on with the ODC. Looking forward to that conversation. Mm-hmm. And a little bit later today at 7:05, we got the Luke Fickell Show. Join us for Wisconsin Badgers head football coach. Gives you insight to the team, previews the next week, and always has a good conversation.
Nice.
Keep in mind, this Friday, we have football on both of our radio stations here at WFHR, 6 o'clock, Wisconsin Badgers hosting Western Michigan. Yeah, the college football Badger season kicks off this Friday. And on WIRI at 5:50, our pregame kicks off for Pepin Alma at Assumption.
There we go.
Join us at 105.5 as Randy, Mike, and Seth will bring you that high school football action.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be good stuff.
It is sports kicking off.
It is Wednesday, Melissa. You know what that means?
Bingo.
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 Bingo. Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Join them at 430 West Jackson Street. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Support those that support this community like our Elks Lodge does. Mm-hmm. Go have fun.
And plus, it's fun.
It is bingo. A blast. That. There is never a Wednesday I go past that Elks Lodge and it's not jam-packed.
Packed.
It is always. Yeah, get there early, everybody. Get yourself a good seat, a good bingo card, and enjoy some bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, tonight at 430 West Jackson Street. The Port Edwards United Methodist Church is hosting a Blessings of the Backpack event for students of the Port Edwards School District. The event is being held today from 3 to 6 at the Ripple Creek Park in Port Edwards. The first 10 students who show up for a blessing with their backpacks will receive a week's worth of free lunches deposited into their school accounts.
Hmm.
Each student will also be entered into a drawing for 1 month worth of school lunches. This is a pretty cool thing. Go check that out today. And I want to remind everybody as well, the last splash pad of the year is happening today.
That's right. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department is going to be set up at the Winter Park Aquatic Center.
Go check that out, everybody. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's 1:30 to 3 today.
Yep, 1:30 to 3 today. And you can find out about that and more if you go to your Facebook page and type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department. Mm-hmm. You can keep up to date with all the good things they are doing over there. And we say a great good morning and a big thank you to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department, some of the most important work in our community. We are very fortunate to have them. I don't think I need to remind everybody around there how many fire departments are being, you know, in rural areas are really hurting for people.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to have the amazing people we do over there. And again, that last splash pad of the year is happening today at the Aquatic Center from 1:30 to 3. Go join them and thank our firefighters while you're at it.
Meet a firefighter. It's a good chance they'll have Icy Pops there because that seems to be something they often have at their pop-up splash pads. So head over, put your swimsuit on, probably wear your shoes or your water shoes, and enjoy some fun in the splash.
Okay, I had no idea they might have those over there. I'm definitely going over there. That's going to be a lot of fun. People Magazine has a story on an annual event called the Wedge Live Cat Tour that started as a joke. A guy in Minneapolis organized a tour in 2017 focused on cats that are always sitting in people's windows. It started out with 20 people, and over 500 showed up for this year's event in June. So it's an established thing now, and they're already planning next year's event.
Wow.
That seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what, they show up at one place because there's a... I guess I'm confused.
I am too. But they do raise money for animal shelters, and that's a pretty cool thing.
That's good. But I do like seeing cats in windows.
There's something about that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And want to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to be focusing on pets, as we have our friends from the Southwick County Humane Society joining us with our Pet of the Week tomorrow.
Awesome.
Be sure to join us for that. It's going to be a fun show. We're looking forward to it. Stick around for Matt and Air on Air. I believe Jane is on vacation. Greg is running things. They got the inmates running the asylum over there.
Well, you'll still have a fun time with Greg.
Yeah. We had a fun time today. Great, great show, Melissa. Great week.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good one. Well, you guys have a good one out there. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.